It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafraid here and declare your independence to oppose the unlimited resources of the evil that would be done upon us if they could. Well, what stops them? I don't know. Not much. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I'll agree with Nick on this one, man. You know, we're talking to Nick Dranius from the Goldwater Institute about the benefits of an Article 5 non-constitutional convention amendment, something. I don't even know. What do you call this thing?
Amendments convention.
Amendments convention. Is that what they call it?
That's what it's called.
Okay, so why is it not a constitutional convention?
It's limited. You can't touch habeas corpus. You can't touch the Republican structure of the states. You can't deprive the states of their equal suffrage in the Senate.
Okay. So that's the 17th Amendment. They kind of did that.
That was something coming out of Congress. And that's why you don't want to rely on Congress to restrain itself. You need to use the process that was meant to empower the states to reach back and take the power that the federal government has seized.
You know, this is interesting. I mean, let's talk about that a second. Article, the 17th Amendment, what happened, the way the Constitution was originally, and it was supposed to be protected in Article 5 here. You can't deny the states a republican form of government and shall protect them against, you know, blah, 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 blah. But to guarantee every state in the union a republican form of government. Well, okay. Well, part of that was, I would think some people probably argued at the time, that the state legislators, they are the ones that selected who your two U.S. senators were. And those U.S. senators went and represented the state. You had the House Representatives, Congress, they were to represent the
people.
People. That's right. You get a gold star. So we have Congress represented the people, and the Senate represented the interest of the state. Well, the states were being ornery, man. They didn't like being ruled from afar. So what'd they do? They said, no, 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 no. We can do this better, you know, with some election fraud, man. We got this thing taken care of. We need to be able to have the people vote for the U.S. senators. So the state legislators, the state's interests were not protected. They were just thrown, might as well just call them congressmen, you know, in another building. So I'm going, okay, nobody ever wants to talk about that. You know, I always bring that up. We even did initiatives here in Arizona. We'd bring that up and be butt heads about it and so on. And they're like, oh, that's crazy. What do you mean it's crazy? I mean, there was a reason why they did it. So now we got Article 5 saying, you know, well, you can't change certain parts. One, you can't change Section 4, which the United States shall guarantee to every state a union as republican in form. You will protect them against invasion. You will protect them against domestic violence if they call for it. So if you have the governor, legislature, come save us. We got, you know, riots in the streets or something. You know, I'm kind of, you know, well, it's the Constitution, man. They said they could. So then you go to the first section. All right, what's the first one say? Let's see, Article, which one does it say? It's in the matter of fact, the ninth section. So we go, well, it doesn't matter. It was something about slavery or something. They didn't want to change that. So I'm going, all right. And you almost think it was immigration because it was saying, you know, you can't restrict the flow of people coming in or what they really were doing, protecting slavery. All right. So I'm going, okay, so we got Article 5 is going to protect slavery. Well, they did an amendment and took that part out. All right. So we don't have that anymore. So what's really the only thing that's protected? Well, you know, you can't deprive them, each state, of the equal suffrage in the Senate, so they get represented. It's just that now the legislatures don't get to pick who the senators are. the people vote. So they could be making an argument on that. So the only thing really left that would have any effect on this, because of the slavery amendments, anti-slavery amendments that were put in there, and they changed it, the senators with the 17th Amendment, the only thing that would be saved in an Article 5 constitutional non-convention thing would be what? A Republican form of government that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union, Republican form of government, that shall be part of this federal constitution. You're not allowed to secede. You're not allowed to go away. What if there was a state? How come we don't have sovereignty? You got some states say, you know what, I break with thee, and I throw dog poop on your shoes, and I'm free now. Okay? Well, where's that part? Let's put that in there. That's the one I want.
Well, James Madison in the 1820s and 30s, when the nullification debate started from the Kentucky resolution, said that the way that states should try to counteract the growth of the federal government and perhaps create more autonomy for themselves is by using the Article 5 process. So the bottom line is this process exists to empower the states.
Okay, I'm asking you a question. Can I use Article 5 to dissolve the Constitution? To dissolve the federal government, to secede from the union.
As long as you don't affect the guarantees of a Republican form of government to the states, other states, meaning, in other words, you can't say everyone is going to have a dictatorship from now on, or I'm going to have a dictatorship. What you can do is you can do everything you can, as long as you preserve the Republican form of government, as long as you preserve habeas corpus.
No, that's not what it's saying here. Let's go ahead and look at this. Let's read it. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. Okay, so do I have to be in the union and I have to have a Republican form of government? Can I be outside the union? Can I say I don't want to be part of you? You know, they decided that. It was called Grant versus Lee.
Yeah, I think, frankly, an argument could be made that if you went through the Article 5 process and you did nothing through that process to deprive other states of the Republican form of government, you did nothing to deprive other states who remained in the union of their equal suffrage in the Senate, yes, you could get out of the union. That's the way to do it. And that's what James Madison was hinting at least at the nullification debate time.
I read it as saying, I know it's going to happen. There's going to be Attorney General De La, I got a gun, and they're going to come in and the Supreme Court's going to say, it says right here, man, you're in the union. You know, no, heck no. Then you may have Texas come up and say, hey, it's the Republic of Texas. We joined under the deal that we could leave when we wanted to. We could break up into five states if we wanted to. We could increase from 2 to 10 senators if we wanted to. And they go, we kind of changed our mind on that, which has happened. So I'm going, you know, I say it's going to mean whatever the heck they say it means. That's my point. You open this up, it's going to be the only thing that they say you can't do is you can't dissolve the union.
All right. Well, Ernie, the status quo is already that. So what do you have to lose? See, I don't understand.
Is that your argument?
Yeah. One key argument is the fact that we already have enough power in the federal government to create tyranny if just the right ruler decided to use it. So what are you afraid of, Ernie? What do you think could happen worse?
I'm afraid of them not allowing me to say none. I don't want a ruler.
You don't have that freedom now.
Oh,
so you might as well try your best shot at improving a bad situation. if you want to come right down to it, if you really think, like I do, that the status quo is unacceptable, and there is some potential for improving that by giving the states the ability to take back some of that power from the federal government, let's roll the dice on it, man.
But then what's going to enforce them doing whatever it is you come up with? Why would they? I mean, you know, Jay Leno put it best. He's going, when they were doing the constitutional thing, coming up, trying to come up with a constitution for Iraq, he goes, why don't we give them ours? We're not using it. I mean, what makes you think that they're going to abide by whatever you come up with anyway?
What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Look, the bottom line is with TARP, with Obamacare, with all these, with Kagan, with just one justice standing between us and outright censorship in the Citizens United case. What are you worried about? What do you think a convention could do that is worse than the status quo?
The entire concept that you would think that a piece of paper is going to protect us in any way. That we go, we're going to do it one more. We're going to do it right this time.
No,
we're better people.
We got
better legislators.
Yeah, but that's not the point. What it does is it manifests political will. It sends a strong signal to the ruling class. It alters their calculations. Those who are in control of the federal government will now see if people get behind this movement, they will now see that the Tea Party is not toothless.
Do you seriously think that I think the Tea Party or this movement or anything is not the leaders? Seriously, do you think that I'm going, ooh, this is a grassroots thing. We're going to have all these governments come together and we're going to call for, you know, just a mini semi-amendments convention kind of thing. And it's the people. The people are behind it. The people.
My hope is to persuade you on that, Ernie, because it's true.
Right. And I'll bet you it'd take me 10 minutes to find out that it's not. So let me ask you. Okay. Let's see if I can do it in three questions.
All right.
This issue, and Goldwater Institute got involved with this based on what impetus? What was the beginning? I mean, it went, you know what? We think that we should. Did you start this national movement? Did you come up with it? Was it all of a sudden everybody joined the Goldwater Institute? Or was there already something going and you kind of meshed in with? You added your voice to? You came part? You see my point? We'll let him think about it for
all
a few minutes.
Above.
And with, yeah, that's what I thought. We'll let him think about it, see if we can get some specifics out of him when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. I'm a big independence declaring kind of guy. You know what they say? Well, what kind of government we should have? One that doesn't violate our individual rights. That's the kind. I don't see it.
I agree.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Get rid of the ring. Get rid of the ring. It's the power. It's not how shiny the ring is. It's not what design it's got. It's not how many diamonds are on it. It's not who gets to wear it. It's not which finger you put it on. It is the ring of power. Eliminate the power. And they're going, yeah, we're going to eliminate the power. We're going to say they have to have a balanced budget. Does that take away the power to tax you into a balanced budget? Heck no. Heck no. They're going to do whatever. Oh. So I'm going, you know, you're not even advocating a particular amendment. You say, oh, it can be specified. Okay, give me one.
What are some great ideas that have come up?
Get up closer to the mic, man.
Come up from the grassroots. How about this? How about a state veto of federal law or a state veto of new federal debt? These are just a handful of ideas. There even
sounds
more,
like more than one, man.
Oh, hey, you know, there's you could also have a single subject rule in any federal legislation preventing earmarks. You could ban any sort of federal subsidies. There's no limit to the great ideas that could be applied in an amendments convention.
You know, first it can be limited. Now it's not limited. I mean, which is it?
All you have to do is specify the subject matter. If you target it to one of these great ideas and you get 34 states behind you, you have that
okay,
convention.
So you're going to have a plethora of whatever on a constitutional convention to do this, 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 and this, and then other states will come on, and then if you want to do that, we'll sign on to this and have our call for an
exists.
Amendments convention
the model
on this. Yeah,
Ernie,
it was called Eliminating the Articles of Confederation.
No. Ernie, look at the Health Care Freedom Act. You know, Clint Bullock at the Goldwater Institute drafted that. It was adopted by ALEC as model legislation. It's now been adopted by 7 states. It's likely to be on a constitutional amendment in 2. It's been introduced in 40 states. That is a model, and that happened in less than 2 years. If that can happen, so can this. And what it is the benefit of modern technology. We have the ability to spread an identical joint resolution for state legislatures to restrain the federal government in any number of ways instantaneously.
Okay. I'm, you know, this nullification thing, you know, you got that going on. They can try and, you know, knock yourself out. How's that working out? So we'll go ahead and
it's
say.
It's out pretty good. Did you see the Virginia decision? Did you hear that in Florida the judge is saying he's not going to dismiss the case?
So okay, I'm still waiting to see, you know, when a state goes, nope, not doing it, and we'll see what happens. We ain't got to that point yet, okay? It's always just dragging out one more election cycle,
well, you gotta
okay?
Hey, hold on, Ernie.
I want to finish on this point.
There's never been a point in time when there wasn't the ring of power in human society. Now, given that
I'm not
going
to advocate for somebody to be my master.
What you got to do is try to strap it down, keep it out of reach.
How about eliminate it? I vote that one. Okay, if I got to vote. So, here we have, you're saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and let's just walk it through. We go, all right, we got a slate of issues that we want to deal with. We're going to limit it to these 47 and a half issues. You know what I mean? Whatever. Okay. So you go, you got states that will go, okay, we'll sign on to a limited constitutional non-convention kind of amendments, whatever the heck you want to call it, and we will go ahead and limit it to these specific things. And you're going to have state number 34 go, yeah, well, we want this. And all the other states go, okay, well, fine. If you want to add that, we get to add this, and we'll add this, and we'll add that. You're not going to be able to limit this thing. Not going to be able to get them on board, because you're going to have to take all of the calls for a constitutional convention to get your 34. Guaran-freaking-tee-it.
I disagree.
I know. But we're here on the 17th of September, 2010, Nick versus Ernest, and we're going to see what happens. Because you know what? I'm going to have to wait for some court case, or I'm just going to have to wait and see what happens. And then this whole thing is going to be, man, this could be a political football like you ain't ever seen. Do you support? Because that's how they got these Constitutional Convention calls before. You think this is the first time they've done this? They did it with the Equal Rights Amendment. They did it with abortion. They tried to do it with balanced budget. This is how they do it. It's just more stuff. They just take this stuff off the shelf, and you have young guys come around. They don't even remember that, you know, you get to be old enough. You get to see it. It's a cycle that goes around and around and around. And what is the people that are behind this? It's a lot of these legislators and so on that were in support of Arizona's SB 1070, and they're going, yeah, we gotta wrestle down the government. They ain't doing it. We're gonna go get them. And I'm going, okay, well, are they going to have some immigration thing in here or whatever? Yeah, probably. You know, they're definitely going to put that. They're definitely going to put that in there. And let me tell you what they're going to change in that. I guarantee. Here we go. It's going to be birthright citizenship. They're going to go, no. I guarantee that one of the issues that's going to be on whatever this call is going to be to attack birthright citizenship. Guarantee it. Ernie said it. Here I am. Yeah, I can be the crazy, stupid, conspiracy, whatever. But you know what? I can wait.
All I can say is I doubt that would sell in 34 states. That's not going to sell.
And wait.
Look, in order to sell the 4,500 state legislators you'd have to do to get the 34 states you need something that appeals to their self-interest. And only increasing the power of the state legislators relative to the federal government is going to do that. That's why I think the state veto of federal laws or the state veto of new federal debt ideas, that's the way to do it. Because you are saying to state legislatures they can have a seat at the table once again. They can be an effective counterweight to the federal government.
See, this is not my problem, is changing the Constitution. You know, do an amendment. How do they do amendments in the past? How do those, you know, gazillion amendments, dozens of amendments get in there before? How'd they do that?
It's all congressional.
So how'd they do that?
They just pass a proposed amendment by two-thirds of each House and send it out for ratification.
Wow, we only got 435 House representatives, you know, and 100 senators. I don't know, that seems a hell of a lot easier than thousands of state legislatures. They got their own issues they want to get on.
As you say, with the power, the ring of power, you're not going to convince someone holding the ring of power to give it up.
So we need to give a whole bunch of other little fiefdoms their own big ring.
The founders made the judgment the only way to preserve liberty is to balance power against power.
And then what happens? There's one ring to rule them all.
You just keep them off balance.
One ring to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them. So they created, you know, all the rings for men and the dwarves and the elves, and then they had Sauron had the one ring. Let me tell you what the one ring is. Article 5 in there, it says you can't change Article 4, Section 4. Yeah, you are in this thing till the end. Really? Yeah, Grant versus Lee, man. That's how they worked it out. So I'm going, okay, I can see where this goes. So what we're going to look at, and when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to give him time to gather his thoughts here and come up with some of the good things that this could produce. Let's go ahead and come out with, you know, these are good amendments that we'd want. Can't get it out of Congress, so we're going to have the states do this, constitutional non-convention amendment thing, and we're going to go ahead and change the Constitution through the states. All right. And limit it to what issue? What might we do? Let's go ahead and see if we can get 34 states to agree on something. But I'm saying they don't even have to agree, because once you get 34 states, it's on, and it's not going to be limited, in my not so humble opinion. And if you think differently, well, who are you going to ask? Supreme Court? Okay, that's where we're going.
We got a litigation team to handle it.
Yeah. Like, that matters. You know,
it does.
It doesn't matter what litigation you have. The ultimate thing, how many Supreme Court justices has Obama appointed in just the last couple of years? How many?
We still get five votes.
How many?
Two.
So I'm just going, we got five?
We got five votes.
Five votes for what? Good?
Their backs have been stiffened by the Tea Party movement. Look at Citizens United.
You know, we're going to talk about the Tea Party movement when we come back. You brought it up. Here we go. Oh, the Tea Party movement was, you know, we know where that started. It was a Dr. Paul thing.
Of course.
And then what happened to it? I know what happened to it. Clear Channel and Fox News got the permits for the microphone and the stage. And they said, you see all these millions of people? They're ours, and they want whatever we tell you they want. Really? Is that what happened? Yeah, well, 2012 is coming up, and we'll see just how this plays out. But I think the young generation is just sitting on the sidelines saying, we're just waiting for it all to fall. And we're camping. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Complain here on Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock, I got in studio Nick Dronius from the Goldwater Institute telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about, because he says that we can do all kinds of good stuff with Article 5 constitutional non-convention amendments specified, whatever the heck it is. And I'm telling
amendments
you,
convention.
The amendments convention. And what it says, that one thing that's left in there that hadn't been amended with some amendment and later and stuff, the one thing that you cannot do is you cannot mess with Article 4, Section 4, Republican government. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union Republican form of government. You know what? You cannot dissolve the Fed. You cannot. That's the one thing you can't. We're going to let you do whatever you want, except make us go away. That's one thing you can't do. All right. And I'm going, well, if you can't do that, if I don't get to vote none of the above, then why am I? It's not an option. I don't get to vote none. Well, then what kind of vote is that? And you're talking about this Tea Party thing. Right, let me get it. You want to do it? Here we go. The Tea Party was all about on the December 15th. We have all these people came together, and gazillions of dollars went for Dr. Paul's campaign. And they're starting to get, and the libertarians have been doing this, you know, Bill of Rights Day has always been like a big thing. So we had this big Tea Party kind of stuff, and all of a sudden everybody's like, ooh, this is good, this is good, this is good. Well, we need to get hold of that thing. We need to, you know, rise up against the man. So what happened? All of a sudden, there's this big call for a big rally in Washington, D.C., where at least 1 to even 2 million people show up. You had 5% of the people who even hear what's being said from a stage and a microphone that got permitted to Clear Channel and Fox News or whoever the boys were, and Republican, De La, whatever. And they get up there and they say, blah, 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 blah. And they get all those people with all those signs about in the Fed and get us out of war and all these other freedom-oriented slogans and everything. It doesn't matter what they say. We're going to tell you what they want. We're going to tell you what they say. And you know what they want? Whatever Fox News and Clear Channel says they want. And I go, really? Well, you watch the numbers start going down. Yep, there they go. I've spoken at many Tea Parties. You have 4 or 5 just here in Arizona. And I'm telling you, what happens is the age starts going up. The kids start going away. The libertarians start leaving. The independents start going away. And then you're just left with this crucible of Republicans in their American flag shirt, De La, here I come, America. Oh, yeah, and get them Mexicans. So I'm going, okay, is this what that's what you're calling Tea? Is that what you're calling the Tea Party? The Sarah Palin Tea Party Express, we're going to get Harry Reid out, good kind of, I so freaking get it. And the people that made up this power that it could have been, they said, no thanks, and they went over there. And they said, wherever, somewhere else. And they go, you know, we got this Tea Party movement, and it's getting people elected. And I mean, yeah, they are, but I mean, whoa, you look at some of these people, and you're going, dang, Okay, that's what you want to hang your hat on. Fine. Well, then they go, we're going to take this Tea Party, and we're going to amp it. We're going to make it even bigger. We're going to get all these people around changing the Constitution. But no fear, we can limit it. And I'm going, all right, limit it to what? Nick, limit it to what?
Well, as I said before, you could have a state veto of any federal law in state jurisdiction.
Okay, let's stick with that one. Right? That's the one that you're going to advocate with the states? Let's do it.
I think it's a good idea. In fact, Randy Barnett wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and I think it's a great idea.
Okay, so we're not doing anything else. We're just doing that one.
No, these are options. You know, in every resolution, you could have one or more specific topics if you want. And I think it would be a good idea to have at least that one. I would think that also you want to apply to have states have veto power over the incurrence of new federal debt.
Okay, so you're going to say 5, 10, unlimited, I don't care. I mean, good stuff.
You got to think tactically. I could see good reasons to have a joint resolution limited to one proposed amendment. I can see good reasons to have several. The bottom line is that there's lots of great ideas out there. These aren't ideas thought up by think tanks. These are ideas that ordinary people came up with that contacted me. You know, I'm not leading this thing. This thing's been completely organic. It's been an array of ordinary retired people, some academics, some think tanks, some people just right off the street that are coming up with these ideas. In fact, what got me really awakened to this idea was a guy named Bill Fruth, who's a retired mayor in Florida who spent his retirement savings sending out 7,500 copies of a book he wrote on how to amend the Constitution through Article 5. And it wasn't badly written for a non-lawyer. I happened to get a copy of that, and I happened to be watching how Obamacare was going. And I said, you know what? We got nothing else to lose. We have nothing else to lose in this country. The status quo is unacceptable.
Well, is there some kind of an enforcement that's going to be, you know, they ignore everything else in the Constitution. What makes you think I'm going to have any faith they're going to do anything that you come up with?
Because the power elites listen to one thing, and that's people in numbers. And this would
really
allow, yes.
And yeah, I give you the Loveolution. How'd that work out?
I disagree with you the way your perspective on the Tea Party. I see it as broadened and as becoming more entrenched and more diverse. And I don't see it actually being taken over by any political party yet. I see attempts. Who wouldn't expect that? But I think the Tea Party is alive and well. And
so this it's a Democrat thing.
No, I think it is what it started out to be, plus a lot more retirees. I'll admit, there's a lot more retirees involved. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing, because what you need in the end is a large consensus to make any sort of change. And you also need that to show
Do away with my entitlements.
Put
it on my granddaughter.
Well, hey, you know, some of them actually do say that. I've been at about 30 of these things, and there are a lot of retirees that are willing to make that kind of sacrifice of their entitlements. Now, but the bottom line here is the power elites need to see this kind of action to change their political calculus, because right now their political calculus is they can do anything they want to us. They can create unelected bureaucracies to run our lives. They can surveil what we do on the internet. And they can do this with abandon regardless.
When you get away from electronic voting, then we can talk about how you can do anything and then feel like they got any kind of threat. Until then, there is no threat.
There is a huge threat when you can say, through 34 state legislatures,
you can say whatever you want. Turn the dial. You win. Thank you very much. You think trillions of dollars in Congress, they're going to leave that up for the will of the people? You know, why do you think we got electronic voting? Where's the Goldwater Institute on electronic voting? Heck, we're in lawsuit right now with Maricopa County not abiding by their own laws that we got passed in 06 to have manual validation. And they go, yeah, so what? Where are you guys?
Well, we've got our plate full with Obamacare, but that's a great fight. You need to continue it. I agree that that's a problem. But, you know, the bottom line is that shows the status quo is not acceptable, that we need to use the fail-safe mechanism that exists in the system to turn the system back to the way it should be.
Yeah, but see, you're saying, well, this will put the fear of God into the congressman. I'm going, and you're still going to be voting on computers? You think they care? Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Do what you want. All you do is dragging it out another couple of years as we go into bankruptcy. You know, and the dollar goes to nothing. You know, this is not, everybody's so worried about patching the Titanic. You know, that's what Barry Hess, the Libertarian candidate for governor, had him on earlier today. I'm going, you know, he always said this was a great thing that he did. I really just clarified it for me. Everybody's so worried about fixing the ship of state. They don't care about the people. They're not even in the equation. We got to fix the ship. Screw the ship. What are we doing for the people?
Well, Ernie, the problem is there's always been a ship of state in history.
So yeah,
is, how do you make it the least dangerous ship? And sometimes that means...
But you're going to advocate a ship.
Unfortunately, there's never been a time outside of Iceland that had any sustained non-government running things in a peaceful way.
Yeah, and that's what they said about people governing themselves when we had the American Revolution, too.
Well, they govern themselves through a government.
They declared away from a government. What happened after that was, you know, hey, man, Declaration of Independence says, you know, we fought this war. You know why? This is why we did it.
Look, you need
to have any kind of government that's instituted among men will not abuse individual rights.
If you're
do whatever you want, but don't. That's when they're bad. Well, guess what? They're bad. And this is not going to change them being bad.
It's going to create a situation where they're off balance, where you balance power against power, where you use the fact that there will always be governments.
More rings.
Use the fact that there will always be governments against itself. You use the system against itself. You use the system to reject what it's trying to do.
What is it trying to do?
The federal government is trying to overreach and break any bonds of the Constitution if it hasn't already. It's time to send a strong signal using the constitutional methods given to us to reverse that.
And it's going to be enforced in what way? Pick your best one. I mean, give me one of your better ones. You know, the veto of the state or something.
State veto of debt, any new debt. Now imagine if Congress,
any new debt of federal or them
any
or
new
what?
Federal debt. Okay. Imagine what would happen in the bond markets for T-bills if Congress pretended to issue debt in disregard of this veto. The bond markets would react and crush that new issuance. It would never sell. They wouldn't buy.
They're not going to sell now.
You watch
what's
going to selling.
Oh, no. You watch what's going to happen. We have 30-year treasuries are down at 3-point-something%, something stupid. Who would put their money in for 3? Heck, that's not even half inflation.
No, but,
you know, third inflation.
But the reason why they're that low is because people are buying and bidding up the price.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because everything else sucks so much.
Right.
So what happens? You know what happened in the early 80s? Went to 15-16% or something. Well, guess what? It's coming again. Nobody's going to buy them until they get up there.
A state veto over debt incurrence is holding the government by its cojones.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk about more when we come back. You know, you can see we're on different sides. But it makes it more fun.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
William Wallace. You stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death. Deny, and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Yeah, and you know why? This is why.
It matters not. He is your king.
That is the entire point of this. You are not allowed to advocate for not having someone rule you. Well, there's always going to be a government, so we're going to... Well, what's today? You know, it's important that we do this today because today is a special day. Today is Constitution Day, or as they call it, Citizenship Day. Ooh, I feel a little warm and fuzzy about that, too. It is an American federal observance that recognizes the ratification of the United States Constitution and those who have become U.S. citizens. It's observed on September 17th, the day the U.S. Constitution Convention signed the Constitution in 1787. And today, on Constitution Day, I am saying, yeah, well, you know, it matters not. They are my king. And I'm trying to advocate that, am I in a free enough society that I can advocate for not having a king? Can I just be left alone? I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not taking anything from anybody. Can I find a little hole somewhere inside where I was born? I was born here. I mean, am I allowed? No. Not unless you abide by, you know, the king's wishes, day law, whatever. And that means as my granddaughter was in my daughter-in-law's womb, a big, giant, humongous chunk of debt got dumped on her. She gets born with a new backpack of TARP money. And I'm going, we're going to have this Constitution, I don't know, amendment convention, non-con-con thing.
Amendments convention.
Yeah, whatever. So we're going to go ahead and have this that we're going to what? We're going to say, no, we're not going to do that anymore? We're going to stop the debt. We're going to stop them from doing it. Well, so it's a we're going to have a balanced budget amendment. Okay. Does that mean you're going to eliminate personal income tax? Are you going to increase it? Are you going to provide another one? How are you going to do this? Are you going to still make us oblige us to have to pay for all this other crap that you guys did? Are we still going? Because what does it do? You can't do away with the union. You go to Article 5. Oh, no. That's one thing you can't do. You cannot violate Article 4, Section 4. Republican government. We're going to have, well, you're going to have one, you know. But can you make it better? I don't know. People have tried. Didn't seem like it makes any difference. I mean, I can read the Bill of Rights. Is how's that working out for us, Patriot Act? You know, whatever. Nick's advocating. Nick Donius from the Goldwater Institute is advocating giving it a shot. So let's go ahead and tell me how this would work. We're going into the political process here. We're going into the presidential campaign of 2012. We're going to have Mitt Romney. He's going to be up there and saying, I support the what?
Well, I'm not a big fan of any particular candidate right now. Look, the bottom line is the amendments convention process is not radical. It's not foundational. It's not necessarily general. It's state controlled. It's state ratified, and we have nothing to lose. Now, the first point about it not being radical, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison all said states should use it to take power back from the federal government. That's not radical. Number two, it's not foundational. You cannot change the fundamental Republican structure of our union. You cannot eliminate habeas corpus. You cannot eliminate the Republican.
In fact, they already did away with habeas corpus.
Well, what's left of it. And this is exactly the point. Jump into my sixth point. There's nothing to lose. The bottom line right now, the status quo is a runaway federal government, a runaway presidency, a runaway federal judiciary, a runaway legislature. We have nothing to lose. The worst that could come out of any of these amendments conventions could not be as bad as TARP, as Obamacare, as the surveillance state. So that's ridiculous to preserve the status quo. We can at least have a shot at things like a state veto over new debt, a state veto over new taxes, a state veto over new regulations. All of these concepts would appeal to state legislators who would have a vested interest in increasing their own power. And we can use that power desire to balance it against and oppose the equal power desire of the federal government, which the founders have shown.
You're going to entice them with a bigger ring? Seriously?
What you want is to have them both grabbing at the ring so they can't grab at you. That is the principle that the founders learned from 2,000 years of Western history.
Oh, I'm so afraid. You know, the one thing that I was hoping that we would be able to get out of this is that there either was or was not going to be a specific issue that we were going to have advocated for us. And I'm already finding that it's already a hedge on that. No, we're not going to have a limit of any one issue. We're just going to let the states pick the issues. And the one thing that scares me is that when this started over 15 years ago, last time this was rearing its head, they already had this called the New States, the Constitution for the New States of America. And it was done out of the Rockefeller Foundation and all these guys. Nelson Rockefeller was president of the Senate. And they were big time behind this. We're going to make sure that we get, when we do this, we're going to insert this kind of, we got it all written out already. Here it is. I got it on my site. There it is, man. You know, see what they're going to do. And I'm going, all right. Well, you know, Nick is advocating that they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to limit this amendment or amendments constitution convention, whatever the heck you want to call it.
Amendments convention.
Amendments convention. And I'm wondering how an amendments convention is different than a constitutional convention. I mean, it doesn't change the Constitution. I mean, what are you talking about?
It's not foundational. You can't.
Foundational. Define that.
That is what happened in 1787 when Congress and the states, most of the states at least, called for reestablishing a national government.
Well, they were saying the Articles of Confederation you couldn't change without a unanimous vote, and that didn't work out too good, did it?
Well, it actually wasn't changed without a unanimous vote because the only people who were bound by the Constitution coming out of the 1787 convention were those that ratified it.
And then Rhode Island said, no, we're not playing. So what did the Congress do? They voted in a boycott of Rhode Island until they forced them to sign up.
Yeah, but Rhode Island had a horrible colonial charter, and who cares about them?
You know, I'm just, are you allowed to not be in? Obviously not. I mean, you know, this is kind of the point I'm making. You're not allowed to say none. You're not allowed to be your own. You're not allowed to be sovereign. You know, the sovereign state's my butt. I mean, the whole purpose of this thing is the first thing you can't do is to have a sovereign state. You have to be in this. Article 5 amendment cycle says this. So I'm going, all right. So we're going to go ahead and have all these good things that we're going to try and do and promise. Because what causes revolutions? The promise of the man versus reality. And when that distance gets enough, you have revolutions. And we're already getting in the middle of one right now. When the economy goes, there's going to be people grasping at something. And I'm advocating, you know, just don't be grasping at making bigger rings and passing them out and making more of them. It's not going to be a good choice. This is so clearly obvious. But to some people, you're going to always have, you know, somebody with a big ring. You just need to try to make your ring a little bigger. And I'm going, okay, you know, that's good. So how Nick is advocating this be done is that we select certain amendments that would do the most good. So you're given a few here, and I'm going, all right, for those to be on the table when we go to this amendments, what do you call it?
Amendments convention.
Amendments convention. When we go to that, the change of constitution, we go to that, we're going to have these limited things. Okay, limited. By what? By pieces of paper passed by state legislators, and they're all going to want what they want. So I don't even see that it's even going to be able to happen. I think that's just a pipe dream. But if they do pass these and they have an overlap of 34 on any particular issues, they'll go, okay, we have 34 states, and on those 34 states, they all have at least this one issue, balanced budget, whatever it is. Boom, we're in convention. Is it going to be limited to those particular ones? I'd say probably not, but, you know, that's what Nick says. But on the Goldwater Institute's own page, they get their Robert Nadelson coming in. He goes, well, of course, abuses Article 5 constitutional amendment process are possible, but, you know, that's against the bad, evil government we got now. And I'm going, I just want to be able to say, we're done. We're over here.
Look,
just,
every government can be abused. Every government process can be abused. There could be coups that are unrelated to any convention process. You can't conduct yourself with all that fear in mind. You have to recognize that sometimes you've got nothing to lose, and we have nothing to lose right now. The status quo is unacceptable.
Okay, I'll give you one. In 1994, we did this initiative, and all it was, it said the Declaration of Independence of the State of Arizona. And all I changed was where it said King George, I put federal government. And where it said these colonies, I put the state of Arizona. And everything applied. So what happens? We do a Declaration of Independence as an initiative. You get enough people. It gets on the ballot. It wins by majority vote. Then what?
Why don't you try framing that as
then what?
Why don't you try that as framing that as an amendments convention resolution and see what happens?
You can't. It says right there. You can't do that.
I don't know if I agree with your interpretation, my friend. Why don't you give it a shot?
It said, you know, I say put it on there.
As you said, it's just parchment paper. Why don't you give it a shot?
You know, and you're just sitting there saying it's not a foundational thing. That's my point. You can't.
Well, you know, look, you can't have it both ways. Either it means something or it doesn't mean something. And what you're telling me
I'm saying, well, obviously it doesn't mean anything because they do what they want. You know, so this is where we're going. This is what's going to happen. I'm glad we got to do this, and Nick is a good sport, and he's come in before, and I appreciate him coming in and having me beat him up, you know, and him come at me and tell me, you know, what I don't know. But the thing is that time will tell. And it's going to amp up pretty quick. And they're going to be bringing this up. It's election cycle. Don't think this isn't going to be big news on Fox and wherever. It's going to be big, huge. They're going to be pushing this issue for hopefully a limited some type of convention. Well, then it's going to go into the 2012 cycle. Then it's going to be states going to be trying to get it. What issue is going to be? Who's support of it? And then we'll see what happens.
States will get the power to veto overreaching federal government once and for all.
All right. Well, they had that, and then they did the 17th Amendment, so how'd that work out? So we'll go ahead and see. We'll follow it. We'll pay attention to it, and you can help me do it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.